Amen. If you would open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 16. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, this morning. Need the young people to try and be still and quiet this morning, and everyone to be attentive to the Word of God. Luke chapter 16. We'll begin in verse 19 of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 19 and verse, Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Get it straight yet. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. You say, what does that word sumptuously mean? Put down yummy. Amen? Yummy good. He's doing well. He's eating good. High on the hog and low on the chicken, man. He was doing well, sumptuously, every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Title of the message this morning, what in hell is going on? You ever hear that expression? You ever hear someone say that? What in hell is going on? Now listen, until Jesus gives us this account in the Word of God, no one knows what is going on. Now the Old Testament makes many references to hell, but it never really says what exactly is occurring down there with the souls of men until Christ comes and makes it known and reveals to us exactly what it is that is going on in hell right now as we speak. What is going on in hell? What actually is occurring to the souls of those that are in hell right now today? There are many Old Testament references to hell, but none really concerning the individual soul. Now, scientists would disagree on the specific materials to be found near the core of the earth, in the center of the earth. Some would say it's iron-based. Some would say carbon-based. Some sulfur. Some molten nickel. But they all agree that it is very hot. Approximately 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's what's down in the center of this earth. Molten nickel, sulfur, brimstone, burning asphalt. is how it's described in the Word of God. Now, Jesus' account here that he gives us is an actual account of an actual man that went to hell. This is not a parable, as some have purported. There is no parable that Jesus ever gives where he gives the name of an individual, where he says a certain rich man, a certain beggar named Lazarus. There is no parable where Christ gives specific names, and yet that's what he does in this case. This is not just a story. This is not just a parable. It is an actual event, and yet that's the way that man likes to purport it, and some things never change. If you'll look back with me quickly, holding your place in Luke 16, but if you have a Bible, and if you'd look and read there with me in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, that's what they said about Ezekiel when he preached. The same thing. If you'll look with me in Ezekiel chapter 20, in your Old Testament, the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and in Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning in verse 26, God tells Ezekiel in verse 46 of chapter 20, "Son of man, set thy face toward the south and drop thy word toward the south and prophesy against the forest of the south field. And say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables?" What did they think of Ezekiel when he preached on this? Well, he's just speaking of a parable. Was he? No, he was being very literal. If you'll continue, just turn the page or so in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 20. Hell is a literal place. It is a literal place. And it's mentioned throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 20. "As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of a furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it, so will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof, as silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you." You may return to your text in Luke chapter 16. Jesus gives the account here of a soul that went to hell. What in hell is going on? Jesus can tell us. Jesus is who we turn to find the answer. Now, this is proof texts that I've given you to this morning is proof that the Bible is not written by man. Man would never write that way. Man is not that way. That's not man's nature. If it was man, you know how man would write the Bible? Door number three, right? That's man's way. God says, heaven or hell? What does man say? Well, purgatory. Let's get some middle ground. Man wants door number three. That's man's nature, see? God says, it's right or it's wrong. Man says, well, can't we have a little gray area here? Maybe it's not really that bad, maybe not real right, but it's not wrong. And they want that gray area. The Bible says it's salvation or it's damnation. Man says, well, how about if I just do my best? Listen, Jesus Christ said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. According to Jesus Christ, There's only two ways, and there's only one of two places you can go when your soul leaves your body, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You must go through Christ. There is no door number three. Jesus preached more on hell in the Bible than any other man in the Word of God. Jesus said in the Bible, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus said, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Jesus said, bind them hand and foot, and cast them into a furnace of fire. Jesus said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Jesus Christ said there was a literal hell where there would be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I believe Jesus Christ was the sinless, perfect Son of God sent to the world to redeem mankind. And if Jesus said there's a hell, you can count on the fact that there's a hell. And listen, I don't care what your mother or what your brother or what your friend or what you may have heard some minister say, Jesus Christ said there's a hell, and I'll take his word over theirs any day of the week and twice on Sundays. Amen? I believe Jesus is telling us the truth. And if we're going to find out what in hell is going on, we'll find it out from our Savior Jesus Christ in this text found in Luke chapter 16. If you'll continue with me now, what is going on in hell? Is everyone still with me this morning? You all awake? You all ready? You have your Bibles open. If you would look with me in verse 23 and scan verse 23 of Luke chapter 16 and verse 24 and verse 25. And look down in verse 28, and you'll see a continual word that Christ uses through this account. And that word is the word torment. What in hell is going on? Souls are in torment. Now listen, when I say souls, I'm talking about who you are. You are not your body. You are a soul. That's the ego. That's the I am. That's who you are. You're a soul that lives inside a shell right now of flesh and bone and blood. You are nothing but clay and dust and ashes made from the earth in your body. But who makes you alive and what gives you life is that soul that's within you. And you read this account of the souls that go to paradise that was in the earth before Christ moved it after his resurrection, and of the souls that are down there in hell, even to this day, burning and screaming. Jesus says they have the shape, they have a bodily shape. A soul is not some kind of, you know, peanut stuck away in your body somewhere. A soul is you, it's your body. That soul has fingers, that soul has a tongue, that soul has eyes, that soul has feet, that soul has a body in hell. It can recognize others when it's down there in hell, according to Jesus Christ, and that soul is in torment in hell. What's going on in hell? Souls in torment. You say, preacher, what do you mean torment? I mean torture. I mean burning. I mean weeping. I mean wailing. I mean burning flames. Torture in hell. That's where the word torment comes from. You get torrent, torrential rains, tornado. See all that? It has to do with devastation and destruction, with pain. That's torture. Man's good at torture. Man's been good at that for thousands of years. You can read the accounts of men for thousands of years, and if there's some things that man has always been good at, it's torture and war. He's always been real good in those areas. Man comes up with all kinds of ways to torture and to cause pain. Back in World War II, the Japanese soldiers would capture an American and take him from his platoon at night and tie him up to a tree and skin him alive at night so that his all his troop were still in distance where they could hear it, and where they could hear their friends screaming as they slowly just pulled all the skin off of his body, and then come the next morning and find out where the camp was, and find their friend there with nothing but maggots and bugs crawling over his dead carcass. Men good at torture. Oh, but what about Abu Ghraib? Oh, terrible, torturous. Listen, that's not torture. I'm sorry. Maybe a little humiliating, and I'm not saying it was right. I'm not trying to justify it. That ain't torture. Americans are so soft. They've been so jaded. You think that's torture. You don't know what torture is. But you talk to someone that's been in Vietnam. You talk to some World War II veterans. They know a little bit about it. They've heard the stories. Amen. They've heard the stories. The Indians used to take people and bury them up to their shoulders in dirt, and then and do it in front of a nice-sized ant pile of fire ants, and then pour honey all over your head and leave you to the ants. In China, they would take people and strap them down and drop water on their head, one drop at a time. It's called the Chinese water torture. And do that for days and days and days and days until somebody just went totally crazy, just with water, just dropping continually upon their head. Man comes up with all kinds of ways of torture. They would tie people to poles and just leave them out there in the hot sun until the ravens and the vultures came and tore their flesh piece by piece. Men's always been good at those sort of things. Back in the old European days, they had thumb screws. They had the rack. And they would take people and stretch people until they basically broke in half upon the rack, or put their thumb in screws until they'd scream out and their thumbs would be crushed to death. In the Orient, they would take bamboo and shove it under people's fingernails, bringing severe pain, to torture them, to get them to say what they wanted them to say. There were places where they would take people and tie them to chairs and then take spikes and hammer them into their kneecaps and then twist them around to get them to do what they wanted them to do. Men's always been good at those sort of things, of torture. Someone said war is hell. War is hell. Well, listen, war is not hell, but it is a good illustration of it. You have illustrations of it all through the accounts of war. Back in World War I, you had men getting hit with mustard gas. And mustard gas all over their face, just blistering up their whole faces, their lungs, getting down in their throat, and they're just blistering up, they're just screaming in pain and burning and running and just running and not even knowing where they were going and running into barbed wire while they're screaming in the mustard gas and falling over the barbed wire and trying to wrestle through the barbed wire as it's slicing and cutting them up and trying to get out of it, and then somebody give them a nice gut shot. Go right through them, and then their guts be hanging out in their hand. War is a wonderful thing, isn't it? War is hell. It's a good illustration of it, but it's not hell. But they say that because of the torment involved in it. In Vietnam, they had those guys with that napalm, man. And listen, the best thing you could pray for is that the napalm would hit you directly and fry you just like that. The worst cases were the ones off to the side. It didn't get them really much, too much on the skin, but they'd breathe it in, and it would burn out their lungs, and they would die burning from the inside out. Or men that would get hit with phosphorus grenades. You know what a phosphorus grenade is? You get hit with a phosphorus grenade, listen, you can't put water on it and put out that fire. That phosphorus just go in your skin and keep burning and burn right in you. You'd have somebody coming up to you while it's going on trying to take knives and dig it all out of you while it's burning through you. Get it out, get it out, get it out! Guys screaming, calling for mama. Men! Put them under some torture like that. See, what's that? That's an illustration of hell. I heard a preacher say one time, and I believe it, he said, war is God's judgment on sin here, and hell is God's judgment on sin hereafter. Well, say, what about, preacher, what about these that have never heard the gospel? Listen, we passed out a plate this morning. You know why? Because there's people that have never heard the gospel, and we're trying to reach them. Amen?
Amen.
You know why we're here today? Because there's people that have never heard the gospel, and we're trying to reach them. What do you mean talking about, what about the people that have never heard? Like, you really care? You're just using that as an excuse for your own ungodliness. and it's not going to work with God. Well, I just don't believe in a loving God that would send anyone to hell. I don't believe in a holy God that wouldn't. God is love. Yes, He is. But don't forget, God is holy. And God loves His children. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But God, listen to me, God hates sin. God is so holy. Moses said, God, I want to see Your face. And God says, you can't look on My face and live. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire who in 2 seconds' time created the sun by a word. A holy God who hates sin and loves righteousness and will not allow your soul into heaven if it has one sin on it. Heaven's a pure place. Heaven's a place of sinlessness. And you cannot get into it if you have sin on your soul. God loves His children. Thank God. But God hates sin. That's the reason that God let Jesus Christ go to the cross. Don't you understand that? Why did God let His only begotten Son that He loved go through the torture of the cross? Why? Because there's a hell. And if there isn't a hell, then God was ungodly in letting that happen. Don't you understand that? Taking that reed and taking that crown of thorns 3 inches long and jamming it down in His head. Why did He have to go through that? Because there's a hell. He said the plowers made long, hits on my back. They took that cat of nine tails and put it on His back and pulled the flesh out till you could see His kidneys in the back. What for? Because there's a hell. That's why. Why did God let His Son have to take nails and be mocked and spitted upon and punched and kicked and despised and go through torment and torture on the cross? Because there's a hell. You say, what in hell is going on? I'll tell you what's going on in hell. There's souls in torment. And not only that, but if you'll look in verse 24 of our text, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Not only is torment going on in hell, but there are souls of thirst in hell. One drop of water is what he's begging for. That's thirsty. That's thirsty. I used to wrestle in high school, and we'd have to make weight. I have to cut weight. I wrestled 119 pounds my senior year in high school. And to make weight, sometimes you might be 3 or 4 pounds over the day before the match. And so what you do is you put on your rubber suit. It's a plastic suit. It's just made out of plastic, and it has elastic around the wrists and around the waist, and then pants that have elastic around the waist and elastic around the ankles. So you're basically covered except for your hands and your feet and your head in plastic. And you practice all wrestling, and you go run, and you wrestle for about 2, 2.5 hours, and you sweat, and you sweat, and you sweat to try and sweat out that weight so that you can make weight. And then if you're still close, you don't drink or eat anything for the next 20 hours until you weigh in for your wrestling. And I've done that sometimes where, listen, I was thirsty. I was thirsty. And there was a couple times there where I was still maybe like a half a pound over, and so I'd have to get a bunch of what they used to call Gatorade gum. It's made by Gatorade Company. And you put Gator gum in your mouth, and your mouth was all dry, but you put that Gator gum in there, and boy, it was a real sour, bitter, and it would just get that saliva going until you could get enough to spit out an extra half pound. That's hard to do when you're real thirsty. You know what? I've been thirsty, but I've never been real thirsty. I mean, I've heard stories and accounts of people out on lifeboats, stranded out there for days out in the hot sun with no rain, and you can't drink that salt water. And yet there's some people that drink it anyway, even though they know they're going to die by doing it, because they're that thirsty. They're that thirsty. There's been stories of people in those situations that have drank their own urine. They've been so thirsty. We don't know what it's like maybe to ever really be thirsty. But in hell, they're thirsty. In hell, they thirst. As far as I'm concerned, this whole situation with Terry Schiavo, it would have been much more humane to just take a bullet and put it through her head than what they did to that poor girl, and letting her die of thirst. That's educated, godly America. Don't you know? Let someone for 10 days not having a drop of water to drink, dying of thirst. God help us. Picture of hell that God gives in the Bible is Sodom and Gomorrah. He said that's an example unto those that should afterwards live ungodly. And Sodom and Gomorrah, you know what God did to it? He burned it and it turned into salt. It turned into salt and a sulfur pit. You say, what's that? No water! Thirsty. Thirsty. That's what's going on in hell. If there's one job I could never do, is these guys that work on these asphalt roads and these roofs in the summer in Baldwin County, Alabama. Good night. I don't know how they do it. I mean, you ever been up on an asphalt shingle roof in the summertime in Baldwin? Huh? Right? Or out on a hot asphalt road laying that stuff down with them steamrollers and all out there? In the middle of the summer, during the day. I mean, that's all. I'd make it about an hour, man. I'd be done. I'd be passed out. Say, what? I'd die of thirst, probably. I don't know how they do it. Listen, in hell, there's no water. Do you understand that? There's no water down there. They're thirsty forever. You ever been real thirsty? I'm kind of thirsty right now. I'm just reminding myself of that. And anytime I'm thirsty, you know what I can do? I can get a drink. Amen. They can't do it in hell. They can't ever do it. Ever. Ever again. If you'll look in verse 27, what else is going on in hell? Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. What's he doing? Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You know what he's doing in hell? Jesus told us what they're doing in hell. You know what they're doing in hell? They're praying. They're praying. That's what they're doing in hell. They're praying. They're praying for mercy. Oh God, one more chance. God, please, one more chance. I'm sorry. That's what's going on in hell. They're praying. They're praying. Well, preacher, I'm just not ready yet, you know, for all that religious thing. I think, you know, when I get ready, when I get older, maybe I'll... I wonder how many of them hell said that. And now they're praying. They should have prayed before. What you mean is you're just enjoying sin too much. You know what you mean? You think it's worth it. I'm telling you right now, flat out to your face, it's not worth it. You hear me? It's not worth it. Sin is not worth going to hell for. You hear me? It's not worth it. But see, that's fallen man's nature, isn't it? It's after the problem happens, then they pray. Huh? You know what this country was doing after 9/11? They were praying. What would have happened if maybe we were all praying before? Maybe it would have never happened. But that's man's nature. He'll pray after it happens. There's a story given one time, and it's just a story, of a young man that went to hell and prayed and asked God for mercy, and God gave him another chance and let him get out of hell. Now, of course, you know that's just a story. That would never happen. According to what we're reading here, they don't get out ever. But this man, it's just a story now, prayed and asked God for mercy, and God had mercy on this man and let him get out of hell. And he got out of hell, and of course, the first thing he thought of was, man, it's Sunday. It's Sunday morning. I got to get to church. I got to get saved, man. I got to get saved before I go to hell. And he came down there, and he came up and started to come up to the church, and he heard them singing in there. He says, oh, man, they're just singing those old stupid songs again. I'm so tired of that place. And all. What am I doing? I got to quit thinking like that. I don't want to go back to hell. I got to go in there, and I got to get saved. And so he came in, and he looks, and, of course, he looks for the seat farthest to the back that he can find and finds a place right there and kind of sits in there and that altar and starts waiting as the preacher gets up to begin preaching, and he's trying to endure it the best he can. And as the preacher gets up and starts preaching and telling people of the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, and he starts listening, and then he starts thinking about other things, and he starts wondering about what they're going to be doing after service, and starts thinking that he's a little hungry, and starts checking his watch a little bit, and then he says, "Wait, man, what am I doing? What am I doing? I can't think like this. I got to get saved, man, while I still have a chance. I don't want to go back to that place of hell." And he's waiting, and he's waiting, and the preacher finishes the message, and the piano player comes down and begins to play, and the preacher begins to put forth his plea and give an invitation for souls to come to the altar and be saved. And he says, "Oh man, I just don't know about. Maybe today's not the right day. I could probably wait until next week, I'm pretty sure next week I'll really be ready then to get saved, and I'm sure I can just put it off a little further." And then his mama comes up to him, and mama with tears in her eyes comes up and says, "Son, please, would you come today? Would you come today and trust Christ as your Savior? Please, son, would you come down?" He said, Woman, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of you bothering me all the time about this religious stuff. I'm tired of people trying to tell me what to do. I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore." And he gets mad, and he gets up, and he leaves, and he walks out the church and opens the door and finds himself right back in hell. Say, it's just a story. Yeah. But it sure proves a good point, doesn't it? They're praying down there now in hell. Now listen, when we go to heaven, you know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be shouting. Hey, we're going to be rejoicing. We're going to be praising Jesus Christ and singing and worshiping Him for all eternity. But you know one thing we won't be doing in hell? In heaven? We won't be praying. We sing that song, "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Sweet Hour of Prayer. Amen. You know how the last verse of that song goes? It's talking about when Jesus comes and calls us home. And we're raptured and we're all resurrected and we're going home to be with the Lord. And you know what we sing as we're going up? Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Why? We won't need to pray anymore. We're in the presence of Jesus forever. Amen? We won't be praying anymore up in heaven. We'll be worshiping. We'll be singing. We'll be shouting. In hell, they'll be praying. They'll be praying. For all eternity, they'll be begging for mercy. In hell. What in hell is going on? According to Jesus Christ, torment, thirst, prayer. And look in verse 25 of our text. "But Abraham said, Son, remember, remember." You know what they're doing in hell? They're remembering. You say, what's going on in hell? Regret. Regret for a lifetime of self and sin and foolishness and the rejection of God's words and the despising that which is good and holy and righteous. Regret. You remember how you thought you just had all the answers. That's what you'll remember. You'll remember how you didn't like that money-grabbing preacher and those hypocrites down there at the church. You'll remember it. You'll remember how much you enjoyed your money and your position and your sin. You won't have it anymore, but you'll remember it. And Jesus says, "But now thou art tormented." Remember? But now thou art tormented. You'll remember the opportunities you had to trust Christ as your Savior. You'll remember them. You will. Listen, if you're here today and you're not saved, I can guarantee you one thing. For all eternity, you'll remember this preacher. You'll remember this day. And you'll remember the opportunity you had to get saved. And you will regret it for all eternity. You will. Mark my word. And I don't say that with any pleasure. But I know some of you aren't going to listen to me. You got all the answers. You got to figure it out, big boy, don't you? Girl, you got all the answers, don't you? You don't need to listen to me. Huh? But you'll be regretting it in hell. But I don't believe in that old fire damnation preaching. I think we ought to just love them in. Listen, there's many preachers today that believe that. Why do you think our country's in the shape it's in? What we need is that old-time preaching guy. Some of you remember. Some of you old-time hearers, you remember. You remember the way it used to be. You remember real preaching, see? You remember, you've heard of Billy Sunday and Tory and Talmadge and Moody. See, what did they do? They preached on hell. That's what they did. And they preached it hot. And they preached it real. Those guys would get up and preach, I mean, and just get in people's face and just tell. Billy Sunday would get out there, man. He'd just go. And he'd say, I'm telling you right now, you're going to go to hell. And when I say you're going to hell, I'm telling you, you're going to burn. And I say, when you get down there and start burning, you ain't going to stop burning. You're just going to keep burning. Just like if I take a match right now and light it and put it on you, and you start burning the fire, and you'll just keep burning the fire, and the fire, and out. And he'd just go on for minute, an hour, just talking about that thing right there. But preachers are polished today, you know. They're smooth. They're refined. That's what we really need in America, isn't it? God help us. And we've forgotten. And you can go in churches today and be there for year after year after year and never hear one message on hell. Listen, you can ask my people here, how often do I preach on hell? How many times have I preached a message on hell in this church? This is my second time in 2.5 years. There's a lot of other Bible to preach beside that, but it needs to be preached too. Because it's real. Because Jesus warned of it. And because lost sinners are going there. It'll be a place of regret. Listen, if there isn't hell, what are we doing here? What am I doing here? What am I doing up here? Telling you what this book says. If there is no hell, why are you here listening? If there is no hell, why did Jesus Christ go to the cross and die for your sins? If there is no hell, there is a hell. And the ultimate regret in hell will be you finally seeing yourself for what you truly were and realizing the opportunities you missed. Trust Christ as your Savior. I'll conclude in Romans chapter 9. And as I conclude and the piano player comes forward, I'd like to read a passage for you here in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And let's start in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Romans 9 and verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, this is our apostle Paul, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why, Paul? What's he sorrowing about? What is he heavy about? Verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul had a burden for his fellow Jew. And you know what he said? I wish I could go to hell in their place so they could be saved. That's something to say. You know what? That's something to say. I don't know if I could say that for you, honestly. I don't know. I'd like to think I would. How's that? I'd like to think I would. But that's a terrible thing, hell. For all eternity. I don't know if I could take your place or not. But listen, you know what? Even if I'd be willing to, even though Paul was willing to, you know what? Y'all with me? You listening? They couldn't. They couldn't. I can't take your place. Paul couldn't take your place. But one man did. One man did. 2,000 years ago, walked down the street up a hill called Calvary with an old rugged wooden cross on his back and went there and willingly laid down his life. Let him put the nails in his hands to save you from hell. He did that for you. He loved you that much. He loved you that much. The Bible says for 3 days he went to hell and paid the price for you so you wouldn't have to go. He took your place. Jesus Christ took your place so you wouldn't have to go. I'd like us to pray, if we could bow our heads and close our eyes. And Christians, if you'd pray. The piano player plays Room at the Cross for you. What in hell is going on? I pray that if you ever hear someone say that again, you'll think about what Jesus said is going on in hell right now. Now this morning I have tried to the best of my ability to not give you my opinion. I hope you understand that. I have told you what Jesus Christ said in the Word of God. You say, but preacher, I don't believe that Bible is the Word of God. Are you sure? Have you read it? Have you investigated it? Are you willing to gamble your eternal soul on it? Because that's what you're doing. You know why I got saved as a 25-year-old sinner? Listen, I didn't grow up in a Baptist home. I grew up an atheist. Out there living in the world, living in sin. Thought I had all the answers. But you know why I got saved at the age of 25? I'll tell you why. Because I didn't want to go to hell. That's why I got saved. Hallelujah. And I'm not going. I've been saved. How about you? Are you sure? Are you sure? You ought to be 100% sure that you're saved. Don't take a chance on going to hell. Please. We don't want you to go. See, that preacher preached on hell. He must not love me. Did Jesus love you? He preached on it. Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven. Did you know that? Because he didn't want you to go there. He was trying to warn you because he loved you. And he died in your place so you wouldn't have to go. The Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, depart from me, for I never knew you. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the question. Now this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and when I say that, I mean, does Jesus Christ know you're a Christian? There's some people that claim to be Christians. Let me ask you something. Is Christ aware of it? Can you look at a day in your life when you were born again? If you're here this morning and you know for a fact that you've been converted and that you are a Christian, that you are saved, and you know without a doubt, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. If you know that to be the case, just raise your hand and put it back down. God bless you. If you can raise your hand, God bless you. Now, some here this morning couldn't raise your hand. we're going to have a few people down here this morning to meet you. And we're going to invite you to come down and have a word of prayer. We don't want you to join the church. It's not what this is about. You understand that? We don't want your money. That's not what this is about. What we're asking you to do is come down here and pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and save your soul. That's what we're asking you to do. You understand what we're asking? We're giving you an invitation right now to step out of your seat and come down here. Have a word of prayer with a lady or a man from this church who's a Christian. And trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want to give an invitation to do that right now. And if you're sitting somewhere where there's somebody blocking the aisle from you, I guarantee you this. You start to move, they'll get out of your way. They want you down here maybe more than you do. I guarantee you there's one person right now that wants you saved more than you do. And that's Jesus Christ. And he's pleading with you. And he says, come. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What I invite you to do right now is to step out of your seat and come. We're going to sing the invitation song. What number is that, sister? 164. Let's stand. We're going to sing 164. There's room at the cross for you. Listen, right now, there's room at the cross for you. There's room for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Listen, if the Lord saved me, he can save you. Hey, don't think this thing, don't believe this thing of, well, once I clean up my life, then I'll come and trust Christ. It doesn't work that way. You come just as you are, a sinner. That's who Christ came to save. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's Bible. When I came to Christ, I came as a sinner, deserving to go to hell. And I found mercy and grace at the throne of God. If you'll come and trust Christ today, you can be saved. Just like that. All you need to do is step out, come down here, have a word of prayer with one of our people. They'll show you and tell you how to get saved. How about it? Preacher, I'll wait until next week. I'll wait until next time. Do you know how many millions of souls there are in hell right now that said that? No, I know you're different. If you die without Christ, you die in your sin, the Bible says. If you die in your sin, you will go to hell. I'm warning you, I am telling you the truth. Don't go there, please. Get saved. Trust Christ. We're going to sing now. You all sing out loud. Let me hear you. You got people praying for you. You got people here that love you and want to see you get saved. And will rejoice in seeing you walk that aisle now and trust Christ. And all you need to do is step out and come. And God's Spirit is speaking to your heart. You need to give in right now and say, all right, Lord, I'll come. I'm going to go up there and pray. Listen, if you're not 100% sure you're saved, please don't take a chance on your soul. God's Spirit has spoken to your heart, and he's shown you that the words that I've told you are the truth, and don't think you'll get another chance after you die. You won't. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. There'll be no more chances one day. We're inviting you to come now and trust Christ, your Savior. You think you're going to get away with your sin before an almighty God? You will not. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He knows thou down sitting and thy uprising. He knows everything you've ever thought and everything you've ever done in the day when God shall bring to judgment the secrets of men, according to my gospel. And you can have it all forgiven in 5 seconds if you'll step out and come. Will you come? Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Have enough guts. Do the right thing and trust Christ as your Savior. Step out and come right now. God's calling you. You step out. You come down here and hold my hand. We'll have a word of prayer right now. People will rejoice. The angels in the presence of God Almighty will rejoice at you coming and trusting Christ today. Will you come?
We've given the invitation. I've tried to make it plain. I've tried to make it clear to you. Christ Jesus died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You come and trust Him as your Savior. He'll take you just as you are. He died for your sins. He died for you. And if you had been the only one, He would have died for you. Will you come? Y'all sing it out now. Sing it out. You come. God spoke to your heart. Right now. Right now, you come. Step out and come. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for He will have mercy, and to our Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. There's abundant pardon for you today at the foot of the cross. Will you come? I'm not asking you to join our religion. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to come and receive Christ as your Savior. Will you come? What excuse do you have right now for not coming? That's what I ask you. What is the excuse you have right now for not coming? I want you to look at that thing and blow it up and say, is this worth going to hell for? Is this excuse worth going to hell for? My God, wake up while you still have time. May God help you. May God have mercy upon your soul, sinner. You come. Come today and trust Christ while there's still a chance. I'm begging you. I'm begging you, come. Sing it again. Sing it again. Sing it out now. God bless you. God bless you, child of God. Isn't it good to be saved? Hey, isn't it good to know we're not going to burn? Isn't it good to know we're going to heaven for eternity? Hallelujah! I'm so glad to be saved, man. I got out of hell. Woo! It's good to be saved. I deserve to go there, but I'm not going there because of Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven because of Him. And you can too. We want you to come with us. We're just sinners saved by grace. How about you? That's the only qualification. Are you a sinner? You qualify, you come. There's still room. Let's bow for prayer. I've tried everything I can. God's going to have to do the work. I can't do it. I know I can't convince you. I'm not going to try. God's Spirit's going to have to do that. I just don't understand why anybody wouldn't want to trust Christ. I don't understand it. What's He ever done wrong? You don't think He's good enough for you? I know some people, they get mad at another Christian. They get mad at some religion. And some way they twist that thing around and hold against Jesus Christ. He didn't do anything wrong to you. He died for you, my friend. Why don't you get off all that? Get your eyes on Christ. The one that was willing to die for you, that loved you that much. The one who says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to Him. That's all I'm asking you to do. Come to Him. Sad part is, some of God's people right now, listen, you've already got your heart and your mind on other things. You think about what you're going to eat after you get out of here, what you're going to do today. And right in this place right now, there's souls hanging in the balance. Would you pray for them? Would you pray for them? If there's someone here today that maybe you didn't come forward, but you know you need to get saved, I'll meet with you in my office after service. I'll talk to you all you want.
I'm available anytime. You hang around after service, come to my office, I'll talk to you, I'll open the Bible, we'll talk about it. I'll be willing to spend all day here with you if you want, if that's what it takes. Because I want to see you go to heaven. You're going to go. You're going to go there in spite of me, in spite of this church, in spite of those that have been praying for you. You'll do it all on your own. Please don't go to hell. I beg you. Please don't go to hell. All right, let's close in prayer. Brother Tony, would you please close with some prayer, please?